My name's Alan. I'm one of the pastors here as well, if you're just joining us. And we've been working through a series of sermons over the last month called In the Meantime. And if you're kind of curious what that's all about, let me explain that real quick. In the meantime is kind of that point where you know you want to be somewhere. You know you've got a destination in mind, but you're not quite there yet. You're caught in the meantime. And so we've been talking through the life of David and how some of the lessons that God taught him in the meantime. If you know the story of David, there was a long in the meantime for him before he reached where God had called him to be. And so we've just been encouraging you with lessons from the life of David through this series. And this morning, I want to take a bit of a pause in the life of David and just kind of talk more big picture stuff as far as what we can do in the meantime. And today, we have a very special presentation. We're going to be honoring some of our high school grads at the end of the service. So this message is kind of crafted with those people in mind. But also, I would really hope that all of us could take something from today. So in the meantime, enjoy the journey. About a year and a half ago, Bernine and I found ourselves in Venice, Italy. Has anybody ever been to Venice? Oh, Venice, it's beautiful. Hashtag romance. It's a really good time. I would encourage you to go if you have not been. But if you have been to Venice or you've seen it in the movies, you know that it's just this magical place. There's actually not like any cars or anything in Venice. It's just kind of all walking and boats, because there's canals and stuff everywhere. And we found ourselves walking through the streets of Venice one day, getting quite lost. I've actually seen lists of, like, bucket lists that people, like, post online and stuff. One of the things a lot of people put on their bucket list is get lost in Venice, because it's really easy. It happens a lot to people. Because the thing is, since there's not a lot of cars, there's not a lot of traffic signs or anything. So if you're going anywhere other than like one of the main attractions in Venice, you better have a pretty detailed map or you're probably going to find yourself lost. But so here we are. We had this restaurant we were trying to find in Venice. And we kind of left to the last minute. We were all already starting to get hungry. And so we kind of looked up where this place was on the map and we go on our way and we're going. And pretty soon, what we saw on the map wasn't exactly what we were seeing in real time. And we're like, what is going on here? We are so lost. And we were just like totally like, yeah, throw the map out. This is useless. And we're just trying to find out where this restaurant is because we're starting to get hungry. And I don't know about you guys, but when I start to get really hungry, I start to get really hangry. That's a very popular term nowadays because I think most of you are probably like me. I know Bernine and I are both the same. When we are hungry and we need to eat, we just try not to talk to each other because it can get pretty dark pretty quick. And so here we are on the streets of Venice trying to find this restaurant. Hunger is starting to set in, and we walk out into this open square. And in this open square, there's just a ton of pigeons. There's pigeons everywhere in Venice. It's crazy. And what we see there actually kind of lighten the mood for us because we see all these tourists there. You know, they're snapping pictures everywhere, taking selfies everywhere. And there's also these guys that kind of linger in these squares as well. And they're trying to sell you all these little toys and trinkets and whatever, and they're kind of annoying. They kind of get in your face. And so they're trying to sell this stuff to these tourists, but the tourists are like, no, thank you. We're just trying to take some pictures. And so they walk away. And as they're walking away from these guys, I see these guys reach into their pocket, pull out some bird seed, and sprinkle it on their shoulders. And so all these pigeons, I mean, they're not afraid of people. They're, like, totally used to people. And so all these pigeons just, like, swarm these people. It's just like, coming in. And have you ever seen Home Alone 2? You sound like that crazy pigeon lady on Home Alone 2. It's like that. It's just like, boom, all these pigeons landing. And we thought it was quite funny and kind of exciting. So what we did was, you know, we were kind of like, you know what, we're never going to find this restaurant. We just found a random cafe, ate, and then we went back to our hotel room. We found our way back, and there were these little cookies they gave us, you know, on our pillows when we checked in. And so we took those, and we're like, let's go feed some pigeons. So we walk back to just any random square, and we find this huge group of pigeons. We break up some cookies, and we sprinkle them on our shoulders and our heads, and all these pigeons just come flocking. We're just like, oh, you know, and like, all these pigeons come, and we were just like, this is awesome. We're pulling out our phones and, like, taking selfies. Like, yeah, this is so sweet. And it was just probably the weirdest thing to watch. We got some pictures, too. So, selfie. I think we got one of Bernine, too, on there. Yeah. So, it was just so fun. And to be honest with you, that's probably my favorite part about Venice right there. I mean, forget St. Mark's Square and Cathedral and all those other big architectural things. It was like, man, we had so much fun with those pigeons. And it's kind of weird, right? Because, I mean, you're on your way, you're trying to find your way to a destination. You totally get derailed and sidetracked. And all of a sudden, that part of the journey is what you like or remember most about it. You forget about where you've been trying to get to. But you remember those little parts of the journey along the way. And maybe you've had something similar happen to you in life where you've been going along and maybe, for instance, maybe you and your spouse were heading out on a date night and getting away from the kids for once. It's going to be awesome. And you're heading towards a restaurant. You go to pay at the restaurant and you're like, shoot, I forgot my wallet. And you're heading home, and maybe on the way home you get like a flat tire, and you're just like, no, this is the worst night ever. And then you get into this fight with your spouse, and then it's just like, this is just going all the wrong ways, you know? And then, you know, but you fight, you make up, and then, well, whatever happens, happens. So, but, you know, you totally forget about, like, the fancy date you were going to have. You just remember all those little quirky things that happened along the way. I can remember as a kid, we road tripped a lot when I was a kid because I'm from a big family and, you know, it was a lot cheaper than flying. So we would just take these road trips everywhere. And it's funny, you don't really remember where you actually went as much as you remember the little funny things that happened along the way. I can remember playing this weird game on paper called MASH. Anyone ever played MASH on paper? Huh? 90s kids, where are you at? And you know, just like funny little things that would happen along the way, little cool restaurants or little things that you'd see along the way and take pictures at. And those things become the most memorable parts of the journey. And in most cases, I believe that some of those little pit stops along the way are actually more important than the destination even is. And it's really easy to forget about that principle when we talk about the journey of life. You know, we have all these destinations that we try to get to in life. You know, we're talking about graduates today. And, you know, for these graduates, they've been working towards the destination of graduation. Hey, that rhymes. That's nice. They've been working towards the destination of graduating for a long time now, and they've finally almost made it. And, you know, from here, they'll probably go off to college or university and work towards a degree, and that'll be the new destination, right? And then from there, maybe some of you guys are already past that stage in life. Maybe you've graduated and you're kind of pursuing that dream job. You got these dreams of what you want to do. You know, if money were no option, what would you do with your life? And you're heading towards that. Or maybe when you graduate university, you're like, hey, it's time to find that special someone, that special man or that woman that is just going to fill that empty hole in my life. Maybe some of you came this morning on the hunt for a man or woman in your life. You heard there's, you know, things going on with Seth this summer. It's a good place to meet young adults. Maybe meet a potential spouse. Who knows? God can make it happen. So, and maybe that's the destination you're heading towards. It's like, yo, I got to get married here. And you're just set on finding a spouse. You get married and then you move on to, hey, parenthood. And you set that as the next destination. It's time to have some kids, start a family. And you know, maybe there's some of us in here this morning, you're kind of past that stage in life. You've been working, you've been in the workforce a long time, maybe 30, 40 years. And for you, the destination right now is retirement. Oh, man, I've put in my time, I've been saving, I've been and just working towards this moment. Finally, I can retire and maybe go do some traveling or do whatever I want to do because I've earned it. And we have all these things that we chase in life, these destinations. And what I find happens a lot of times is we kind of get so fixated on the destination. And we almost get these blinders, like you know how horses wear those blinders sometimes? We get those blinders on and the only thing we see is just the destination. And a lot of times we just forget about the journey and everything that's going on around us along the way. For Christians, I think the most elusive destination that we chase after is we're in this pursuit of God's will for our lives, right? Maybe you ask that question to God. God, what is your will for my life? You know, at what point in my life I've arrived? And what am I supposed to be doing with my life? What is the one huge thing that I am here on planet Earth for? What's your will, God? And a lot of times we treat this like it's like some fantastical utopia, this far-off Neverland thing that maybe we'll never reach, but it's like this mysterious thing. What is the will of God for my life? And we ask those questions, especially in the season. If you're one of our grads today, or you're in high school, or you're a young person, we ask this question a lot more in our younger years. Okay, God, what do you want me to do with my life? What is your will for my life? I got good news for you guys today. I've solved the mystery. I know, 29 years old, and I've already got a grasp on life. Look at this. If you came up to me today and asked me, I could tell you what God's will for your life is. Yeah, something else. And I'd like to share it with you if you're interested, but I mean, it might not be your thing. But hey, if you are, I want to share with you this morning. I've solved the mystery. I know what God's will is for you. And if you want to open up your Bible, if you brought it, we're going to take a look at a quick passage of Scripture because God gave us the answer. How sweet is that? So Matthew chapter 22 is where we're heading today, verse 34 to 40. And it's right on the screens if you want to follow along. It says, "But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees with his reply, they met together to question him again." Now that's Jesus we're talking about, okay? This is the life of Jesus. And if you're wondering who the Pharisees and the Sadducees are, maybe you remember that childhood song we sang, "I don't want to be a Pharisee." Yeah, dark times. But when these Pharisees, these Sadducees, these are basically the religious leaders, professionals of the day, kind of like myself and Pastor Evan, except a little more staunchy and kind of like nose in the clouds kind of thing. So, these are the guys. And these guys actually didn't really like Jesus a whole lot, which is kind of strange. But they would always get in these debates and arguments with Jesus, and they would try to ask him all these tough questions and try to like trip him up and because they just didn't like him. They thought he was a fraud, they thought he was a fool, and they wanted to kind of prove to the world that their point. So here they are with Jesus. They're going to question him again, and one of them, an expert in the religious law, tried to trap him with this question. "Teacher, which is the most important commandment in the law of Moses?" Sonic boom, right? Jesus replied, "You must love the Lord with Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. Now the entire law and all the demands of the prophecies are based on these two commandments." Wow. Good one, Jesus. So, if you didn't catch that, what is God's will for your life? God's will is simply this. Love him. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Basically, throw your life at who God is. Make it your life's mission to know God, to have this relationship with God. You see, God created us, each and every one of us, for relationship. He created us as his number one creation. He created us for his pleasure so that he could be with us. To just sometimes walk and talk with us. And his desire, his will for us, simply, is that we reciprocate what he's already extended to us. You know, we just sang about God sending Jesus to die on the cross to take away our sins today. So basically, God has made every effort to take away everything, like Pastor Aaron was saying, everything that would hold us back from him, just so that we can come to him freely. That is his will for us, that we would love him, that we would pursue him with our lives. That's it. Simple.
Oh, well, that was easy.
But we're kind of like those Pharisees and Sadducees sometimes, where we try to complicate things. We think that there's just like this, there's this lofty ideal, and Hollywood has kind of planted this in our brains, that there's like this magical single purpose for our lives, and if we don't make it there, we're missing something. But it's not about that. It's not about that destination. It's not about some magical, far-off, mystical Neverland that you're trying to get to. It's simply, hey, do you know Jesus? Do you love Jesus? Are you giving your life to follow him? Simple. And I find the older I get and the more I kind of grow in my relationship with God, the more I see that, you know, when I actually put those things into practice, when I can actually just focus on following God, who he is, loving him, it's like all those other things that I worry about, all those other destinations that I may chase after, just kind of fall into place. It's really cool. It's like God actually knows what he's talking about. You know, like in Psalm 37, verse 4, it says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. I love how it says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. It doesn't say, hey, God's going to give you the desires of your heart if you delight yourself in him. There's a prioritization that has to happen in our hearts, where we delight ourselves, where we find joy and strength and love in who Jesus is. And as we do that, you know, we think that's kind of like almost like a reward system, where it's like, okay, well, if I love Jesus and I follow him, then my reward is he gives me what I want. It's like the tooth fairy. No, it's not like that. When you delight yourself in the Lord, it's crazy what happens. Your heart begins to change. Your attitude and your mind, the way you think, your passions and your pursuits, the destinations that you chase after begin to change into things that he wants for you. And so naturally, he wants to give them to you. Right? Makes sense? And in Matthew 6, 33, he says, seek first. This is Jesus talking. He says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Then, all these things that you worry about in life, they'll be added to you. No worries. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Do your best to try and become like Jesus. Seek after that. Don't worry about what am I supposed to do with my life, God? What's that big Hollywood dream that you've got for me? It's, no, God, I love you, and I'm willing to do whatever you want me to do, but, you know, I just want to walk with you. And then he just kind of makes the path clear as we go. This isn't something that I profess to be a pro at, by the way. It's a simple principle to love God and just kind of let the rest happen. But it's something that we struggle to get right so often. And something that we kind of need to relearn all the time. For some of you graduates, this is maybe going to be your first time hearing this wisdom. But it's something that us adults have to continue learning almost on a yearly basis for myself. One such instance is just my journey of how I got here to Courtney. If you don't know some of my story, I grew up in Airdrie, Alberta. And I grew up in the same church. I was baptized in the same church. I was filled with the Spirit in the same church. I went through youth group in that church. I graduated high school while still going to that church. And then I eventually became a pastor in that church for 8.5 years. And everything I knew, everything, all my experience with God, everything I knew about following Him was, a lot of it was just rooted right there in that place. And Bernine and I came to a place, it's over 2 years ago now, where we felt God call us out of there. It was this very clear moment where God said, "Hey, it's time to go." And we were like, "Oh." You know, we had kind of been feeling stirrings in our heart that God was going to be moving us forward at some point, but we still had no idea what that looked like. And if He did call us out, where are we going to go? You know, Bernine and I both were raised in that church. We grew up in that town. That's all we knew. God, like, what else? What are you going to show us? But it was like God just called us out, just like He called out Abraham. Or He said, "Abraham, just get up and go. Leave your homeland and go to the land I'll show you." Abraham's like, "So God, like, where are we going?" God's like, "Just go. I'll show you when you get there." It's the same kind of thing. God just called us out. We were like, "All right, well, it's time to go." And so we didn't really have any clear direction from God. So we said, "Hey, we like to travel. Why don't we just save up and let's take a year off and go traveling?" Awesome. So we planned a year of travel. We called it our nomad year. Hashtag our nomad year. You can actually look it up on Instagram if you want. But we planned this year away. And what we did is we wanted to, you know, we planned some missions things that we were going to do. I had always wanted to try teaching English overseas, so I did that for a bit. And then we just did some fun stuff, too. I mean, we just had a ball. And so we took this year away. And I can remember even before leaving on our year thinking, okay, so we've done our planning, you know, we've saved our money, but you know we only got about enough cash to last us for a year. So God, like, what's next? And I remember God just speaking to my heart and saying, "Hey, don't worry about that. Just enjoy your time away." I said, "All right, sounds good. Let's enjoy this year." So we go off on our traveling, you know, and we went to Europe, we went to Venice, got lost in Venice, did that whole thing. And we found ourselves on the beach in the Philippines taking a week of holidays from where we were working at an orphanage. And Bernine and I were just chatting the one night, and we just had this great chat about, like, hey, where we feel like God is leading us in the future, and just dreaming up some things, like, about where our next destination might be after this year. And the next day, I remember feeling almost like a rebuke in my spirit from God saying, "You're not supposed to be worrying about what's next yet. You still got 10 months left in this year away, and you're going to miss out on what I've got for you if you're just so concerned with what happens at the end." So I was like, "Oh, okay, all right." So Bernine and I chatted, and we said, "Okay, we're not going to start chatting about what the next step is till we're about 8 months in." So we hit that 8-month mark, and I was like, "Okay, God, I've waited, so now it's time to chat. What's next? What's the next destination?" And I still felt like God said, "No, we're not having this chat yet." I was like, "Seriously, man? Like I got to start making plans, but okay, fine." So we went a couple more months, and we decided, you know, I had the option that we actually could have stayed teaching English where we were at in Thailand, but we decided, no, let's just take the year that we originally planned, and we'll go home at the end. So we decided, okay, we're going to go home, but I still had no idea what I was going to do. So we hit about the 2-month mark, and I started to worry again. I'm like, "Hey, I'm 2 months out, God. Like, should I start to look for jobs? Should I be, like, trying to figure something out? Like, I, you know, test the waters back home, send out like some messages to friends, see if there's anything out there. And I just felt like God said, no, it's not time yet. I was like, come on, man. Like, what are you doing to me? Like, I got to plan ahead. And I just felt like God said there, you are going to miss out. If you keep looking to what the next step is, what that next destination is, you're going to miss out on the journey that's happening all around you right now. And so I said, fine. Okay, God, I'm going to trust you. But you better help a brother out. Like, when we get home, like, there better be, like, something better happen, God. I mean, like, I'm trusting you on this. Help me out here. And so that's kind of just where we left it. I spend the next 2 months just sitting and wondering what's going to happen. There were a couple moments where I almost started worrying again, and many moments. But for the most part, I just tried my best to enjoy this time. And there were many, many lessons that God taught me through that year. I remember, like, even in the last couple weeks of our trip, we were on this, like, super secluded island in Cambodia, and I remember just going for walks down the beach. Hardly anyone on the beach, just me and God. And just having like some time where I was just praying and talking with God. And man, I was getting emotional when I talk about that part. But you know, that's cool because it's a relationship. Relationships are supposed to get emotional, right? So I can just remember walking down the beach with God saying, man, I got no idea what I'm doing when I get home. I hardly got any money left, but I trust you. I finally learned my lesson. And I got home October 27th. It was a Tuesday afternoon. And that was 353 days into our trip. Got home October 27th. November 1st, that same Sunday, I got a Facebook message from a friend who is also a friend of Pastor Evans. And he knew that they were looking for a youth pastor. And he said, hey, man, welcome home. Not sure if you're looking for a job, but I kind of know someone who's looking for a youth pastor. And I was like, oh, my goodness, that's pretty awesome. And it was 1 year to the day that I left Canada that I had my first conversation with Pastor Evan. Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, it was awesome. And then 2.5 months later, we moved out here. You know, and there was a valuable lesson that I learned over that year. One of the biggest lessons I learned was just enjoy the journey. You know, if you fixate on the destination, you kind of stop caring about the journey along the way. If you put those blinders on and you just don't care about anything but where you're going, you're going to forget about the journey that gets you there. And you stop caring about walking with God day in and day out. But here's the thing. When you actually start to focus on God and walking and journeying with God, you actually stop caring so much about the destination and where it leads. Because the journey with God is the destination. That's His will for our lives. And when we look at things that way, it's like life is a lot less about trying to find your way to some final destination. You know, this graduation that these grads are heading towards, or marriage, or wherever you find yourself heading towards right now, that's not a destination. Because what happens when you hit that destination? There's something else on the other side of that. You arrive at that destination, then it's like, well, what next? Instead of thinking of these things as destinations and final destinations, we need to start thinking of them more as checkpoints along the way, where God is leading us on this journey. And this journey is so much more than just checking off a list of checkpoints on your way to your final destination. It's about enjoying what happens in between those checkpoints. And that is the journey with God, which is our destination. We've been working through this series in the meantime, and if you look back at your life, for some of us that have lived a few years, you look back and your life is probably filled with a lot more in the meantimes than seasons where you're like, yeah, I've arrived, I'm at my destination. Our life is filled with a lot of in the meantimes, a lot of journey. There's a lot of time to walk with God. And if we just fixate on the destination, we miss out on that journey. And that journey is God's will for your life. So, where are you at today? You find yourself like maybe some of the younger people in the room, you find yourself searching for God's will. What is God's will for my life? What is the will of God? What is this mysterious thing? Am I ever going to find it? You found it. You found it today. God's will, simply put, is that you would just know Him. You'd encounter who He is, and then you'd follow Him for the rest of your life. Simple. Done. Which moves you to the next phase, which means sometimes we find ourselves in pursuit of these things in life, and maybe there's people in here today where you've had a destination in sight for a long time, and you've been fighting towards that. And maybe there's been obstacles that have come up along the way, and you've just hit this point where you're tired. You're tired of chasing, you're tired of pursuing after these things. Can I challenge you today and say maybe you're pursuing the wrong things? Maybe you're focused a little too much on the destination, and you need to just sit back and enjoy the journey with God. And maybe there's some people here today, and you're like, man, I've maybe understood 5% of what you said, because I'm brand new here. And you wouldn't call yourself a Christian or whatever. Maybe this is your first time at Northgate, second, third, and you're just checking things out. But you're like, man, this whole journey with God thing sounds really cool. And today might be the day that God wants you to start journeying with Him through life. If that, wherever you're at, whatever season you're finding yourself in the meantime, today we want to have an opportunity to pray with you after the service. We've got an awesome prayer team and pastoral team that wants to meet with you and pray with you. And they're going to be meeting here after we conclude our service. But what I want to do right now is I want to take some time and talk about our graduates. And they're in an important transitional season of life where they're coming up to one of those checkpoints that we just talked about. So I'm actually going to invite, if we have any grads in the room, and I know we do, I've seen a few already. If you're a graduate in the room, I'm going to invite you up on stage to come on up. Let's give them a round of applause as they come on up. Yeah, come on up. Some of them are hiding away in the balcony, so they're coming down. Come on up. Keep it going. Come on up, graduates. Yeah, we got a few of them here. Come on up. All right. We got Brenda Windley, Stephen Albright. We got Josh Rankema, Jared Rankema. We got Kaya LeClaire. Come on up, guys. Sweet deal. Spread out. Let's make room for them on the stage. We got... Excellent. This is the class of 2016. Well, part of it. Some of them were at our earlier service. We didn't want to flood the stage with everyone. And some of them couldn't make it with us this morning, but what a good-looking bunch, hey? And, I mean, I don't even know all of you guys super well. This is my first time meeting Kaya. You know, what I have seen of these guys and girl is just amazing. And I can tell you the future is bright. But guys and girl, Brenda, thanks for coming out, by the way. I just want to encourage you guys with what I just said. Those two quick passages I shared with you, Psalm 37 and Matthew 6, delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and the rest of it will just work itself out. I firmly believe those, and those have been tried and tested truths in my life, and in the lives of so many people here, your parents included, I'm sure. And I just want to encourage you guys, as you guys head out into this season where some of you guys are going to be pursuing post-secondary education, some of you guys are going to be hopping right into jobs, chasing dreams, heading off overseas, whatever stage of life you guys find yourself in, Don't forget about the journey. I know it's easy to just get caught up in chasing a dream or chasing these things in life. But enjoy the journey along the way. Enjoy the day-to-day time that you can take with Jesus. Pursue him. Make him your number one priority. And just be amazed at where he takes you, at how those things that you worried about, like how am I going to get enough money for this trip, or how am I going to get enough money for college, or how am I going to get the grades for this, or how am I going to reach this dream job, all those things. If you pursue God, man, those worries just start to fade away, and you'd be amazed at where he takes you. It's pretty cool. And so we got a couple gifts for you guys today, and I'll kind of explain. This one's for Kaya, but I'll kind of just show you, explain what we got for you today. First thing I want to give you guys is a compass. Not only because they're super trendy right now on like Instagram and, you know, Pinterest and all that stuff, but the compass holds a symbolic significance to me, and I hope that you catch it today. Because before, back in the day, before we had cell phones and smartphones and GPSs, when people traveled, a lot of times they'd take a compass with them. You know, sailors at sea would take a compass with them, because a compass helps you find your way. A compass always points north. And it doesn't matter how lost you get, how off track you get in the wilderness, at sea, wherever you are, if you can find your north, you can find your way back home. And this Bible that I want to give you is, well, we figured you guys are starting to grow up, so it's, you know, if you're anything like me, when I graduated, I had like this cheesy teen study Bible that was like, I got when I was 12. This is, if you don't have one already, this is your first grown-up Bible. And this Bible is your spiritual compass. This Bible points north, if you get what I'm saying. And it doesn't matter how lost you may feel in life, how off track you may feel at times, where it's like, God, I'm so far from God. Like, I don't even know if God loves me. Where you get yourself in life, this is your spiritual compass. And it always points north. If you use this, you can find your way back. So we have one of these for each of you guys that we're going to give you. But what we want to do right now is we just want to pray for you guys. So I'm going to invite you to maybe just scooch up a little bit so we can make a little room on stage. And if you are a family member or a close friend, or even if you've been like, maybe there's been some of you that have taught Sunday school to some of these guys, or teachers at school, or youth leaders, come on up. We want to invite you up to come and pray with us as we stand with these guys in this transitional, this huge period of your life, this stage that you're in. So come on up. Yeah. And half the church gets up and we're going to be good. This is awesome. We'll make some room. We'll make lots of room. Come on up. Wow. Fantastic. Awesome. This is great. Okay, well, let's pray. Father, we're so thankful for this group of students that you've blessed this church with. We look at these lives and we see just how generous you are with the gifts that you give. Not just material gifts, but spiritual gifts and talents, Father. God, we pray as these students head out into the journey of life, God, as they're about approaching this checkpoint in the journey with you, God, that they would never forget as they go out on their own, that they would never forget to walk the journey with you every step of the way. God, as sometimes they may take a wrong turn or they may run a little bit ahead of you, Father, I pray that they would always remember you, God, that as they take a look in your word, as they spend time with you, God, they would feel your presence at work in their lives, God. God, I pray that as they're coming up to making some really important decisions, that you would give them wisdom. Father, give them wisdom in the direction that they should go. God, give them dreams. Give them hopes for the future. God, begin to paint the picture that their lives would become. And as you do that, God, don't give them the whole picture. Allow a little faith to grow, God, as they are forced to rely on you, as they're forced to walk and journey with you every step of the way, so that when they finally reach those checkpoints in life, they can just give you some praise. They can say, thank you, Lord, that you've taken me this far. I thank you that you're not going to leave me, you're not going to forsake me, and that you're going to walk with me every step of the way. So God, we bless these lives right now. God, we pray for every good and perfect gift that you have for them. God, we send them out with our blessing. We send them out with our prayers. And we just commission them to go into this world and make a difference. And we look forward to hearing stories. We look forward to sitting back and watching on Facebook and in the news as we see some of these lives make a huge impact on this world. We bless them. We love them, and we love you, Jesus. And if you agree with that, why don't you say a big amen on three? One, two, three, amen. Amen, amen. Give them a round of applause this morning. Awesome. Congratulations, guys.